You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Everything God has created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe.
Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
In reflecting on the verses from 1 Timothy that Amanda and Coco read for us a few minutes ago, I found it interesting how Paul seems so aware of the hopefulness intrinsically present in youth. It's baked into teens, that hopefulness. To quote every graduation speech ever given, you have so much ahead of you. But it's true. The grand vista of life is just now expanding into view ahead of you. It's an ever-approaching horizon on which the fullness of life draws near. It is this approaching life, this ever-nearing kingdom, toward which Paul is coaxing Timothy. Paul seems to know two things. First, that the promised kingdom of God is coming. He says godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. He doesn't say the life that may come. He fully expects the arrival of this hoped for but yet unrealized future. But secondly, Paul tells Timothy that the fullness of the life to come is brought on more quickly by leaning into it, or rather by walking toward it. Paul says, devote yourself to reading Scripture, to preaching and teaching, and set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. Paul tells Timothy to persevere in these things because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That idea of sensing a hoped-for future and then walking toward it, that is a daily reality for teens. For some of us in this room, it's been a while since we had that experience. But they are frequently anticipating some new moment, some new experience, and eagerly waiting, actively waiting for that arrival. I remember a time in high school when I longed for a specific approaching moment. I was 16, and I was hoping for my first kiss. Now, to put this in context, you must understand that in high school, up until high school, I had been homeschooled. You might not know this about being homeschooled, but it somewhat limits your romantic options, thus significantly decreasing the likelihood of a first kiss event. But when I started public school in ninth grade, the speed with which this particular horizon approached perceptibly increased. Like Paul recommends to Timothy, I began turning the thoughts of my life toward the arrival of this new event. It took me a few months, but I finally asked a girl out. I don't think we actually went on a date. It was more of a, will you call me your boyfriend and let me call you my girlfriend? And she said yes, so step one. Several months then passed, during which I took further steps toward that horizon, horribly awkward steps. Did you know a couple was supposed to hold hands? I found this out, but was immensely confused by the mechanics. How do you know when it's okay to hold hands? Who initiates? Do you interlock fingers? What do I do about my sweaty palms? So if I was so flummoxed by hand-holding, you can imagine the degree to which I would be encumbered by my first kiss. Like Paul tells Timothy, this is why we labor and strive, because we have hope. I had hope. And like Timothy, I took on the virtues of someone hoping for something. Like Timothy, I prepared. I heard the movie theater was a good place for this sort of thing, so I asked her to the movies. Now, I lived in a small town with only one theater, so I didn't have much control over the film. But it was fine, because the perfect first kiss movie just happened to be showing the re-release of the newly remastered Return of the Jedi score. Like Timothy, I surrounded myself with faithful support and community. I invited my best friend to also come. In hindsight, this seems like an odd choice, but there was logic to my decision. If you're going to be in the movie theater kissing the person on your right, you don't want a stranger on your left. And finally, I practiced. Like Paul tells Timothy, enact the future now. To live your life now with all the love and faith and holiness of the coming kingdom. Practice the ways of the kingdom. It's as though Paul knew the way a youth's mind works when envisioning something far away. Do you remember being this way as a teen? That imagined moment can become so idealized, so hyperbolic, that the fantasy detaches from reality and becomes this unachievable goal. Paul tells Timothy to remember that the hope for kingdom is and will be real, so ground it in the now. As a person hoping for something, I too practiced kissing on my arm. The night came, and we arrived at the theater, dropped off by my mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. We were plenty early so we could meet my best friend and get good seats before the rush. Luckily for us, we got the best seats in the room, center aisle, center row. That was a good sign in my mind. Unbeknownst to me, however, the movie had been out for a while and the changes in the film had not been particularly well received, so we were surprised when the room did not fill. In fact, no one else came into the theater at all. We were literally the only three people in the room, me in the middle, my best friend on my left, and my girlfriend on my right. Now, here's another component of the experience of moving toward an ever-approaching horizon. Hope can overcome doubt. By leaning into hope, by anticipating the realized kingdom of God, we can live through the waves of chaos. The moments when we look around at the world and things are not the way we thought they'd be or the way they ought to be, but we still continue on to the other side. The same was true of me here. I was not deterred. It took me a while, about 40 minutes. This was partially due to my intense anxiety and partially to the practical problem of my best friend's peripheral view. Finally, about halfway through the movie, he leaned forward, resting his elbows on his knees, freeing us from his field of vision. It was my moment. I took a deep breath and I turned to her. She was already looking at me as though my fidgeting and sweating had indicated to her my romantic intention. And so I leaned forward into this quickly approaching horizon. At this moment, two things happened simultaneously. The kiss was different than I had anticipated. This might seem obvious because it was with another person and not my arm, but it was also more invasive than I had expected, and that surprised me, and I instinctively jerked back. At that exact moment, my best friend Tim decided to tell me an interesting fact he'd read about the CGI rendering of Jabba the Hutt, and he turned to me just in time to witness the catastrophically awkward moment of my kiss/recoil. If I recall correctly, he said, "Hey, Ryan, did you know that?" Oh, wow, never mind. All three of us froze, then slowly turned back to the movie screen and watched the second half of the movie in the empty theater in silence and never spoke of it again. While that event in my life was surreal at the time, I look back on it now with fondness because I do think it taught me a few things. I thought a kiss would be a perfect moment that suddenly arrives. Instead, now having been married for 14 years, I understand that a perfect kiss is something you grow into. Like all things we hope for, it approaches us while we stride toward it. The hoped-for reality is lived into. And so Paul tells Timothy to retain his youthful hope for the coming life. It may seem far off in an idyllic, over-the-rainbow sort of way, but don't sit on a bench and look into the sky waiting. Live into it. Take your youthful hope and use it to fuel the practices and habits of life in the kingdom. It may seem far away now, but it is coming. It is approaching. Be ready.
On April 2nd, the youth group, consisting of Simone, Stephanie, Kathy, and I, went to the Compassion Experience in Long Beach. The point of their mission was to submerge people into a world of poverty that they may not have known of and experienced. There were two trailers, one for a boy who I forgot the name of, and the other for a girl named Kiwi. People were guided through around 8 rooms that signified an important part of the kids' lives and was made to directly reflect the environment of the specific setting down to the specific details, like a fruit. You know, we were given an iPod and a set of headphones for each person, and of course, I dropped mine immediately. To listen as we used them to listen to Kiwi as she told us her story. Kiwi talked of what each room meant, the first one being where she was born, one of the latter showing the school and church setting that the Compassion Experience had built in her town. It was a moving story, even on the more depressing side. Fortunately, Kiwi is grown now, an adult with a loving husband who is doing her own part through the Compassion Experience. At the end, they even showed a little video as a little summary and to show where she is now. I was almost in tears, almost. We walked into a main room with countless photos of young children in packets. I was confused for a second until I realized that these were kids who needed to be sponsored. Simone and I browsed around and I wound up in the Africa section. And lo and behold, I found the most cutest and fashionable kid ever. A 1-year-old named Alfred Feta. Simone and I say like feta cheese, you know. Simone and I marveled at this adorable child who could pull off a colorful striped shirt and camo pants. I mean, gotta give him some credit there. He was sitting in a pink chair, too. I mean, like, come on, guys. He was the cutest thing ever. We found out he lived in Uganda, in an area that is AIDS affected and where child rights are at a risk of violation. Immediately, we knew he was the one. We took him to Kathy and Stephanie, who got their checkbooks out for our first payment of $29 or so, so this little boy could get the care he needed. Just $29. And what I found the most amusing about this whole thing, well, like the only amusing part, was when we were told we could write a prayer to him, Simone and I end up writing something along the lines like, "You look super snazzy," and "Rock on, little dude." And when we read what other people said to their sponsored childs, it made me laugh because ours were so different. They said things like, "Jesus loves you and God will always be by your side," while Simone and I said something so simple like, "Your outfit is on fleek, boy." Anyways, sponsoring adopting this child made me feel like, hey, I really am making a difference in this world. It warmed my heart, hopefully Simone's too, knowing that I'm doing something for this little boy.
Alfred Feta was born on March 2, 2016 in Uganda. Alfred lives with his mother. His mother is sometimes employed as a farmer. He helps his mother by being a good boy. He is too young to help around the house. His favorite activity is playing with toy cars. Alfred is not old enough yet to take part in activities designed for preschool and elementary age children. At this age, having someone to love and take care of him can mean the difference between life and death. That's why our sponsorship provides for a trained survival specialist from his local church to visit him every month at his home. These specialists provide access to much-needed immunizations and medical care, as well as food and water to meet critical physical needs. They also lend emotional and spiritual support to family members committed to caring for him. Our sponsorship allows Alfred a strong, healthy start early in life when it can have the biggest impact. His Christian activities include attending Sunday school and church. His favorite activity at the Compassion Project is spending time with his friends. Please remember Alfred in your prayers. Your love and support will help him to receive the assistance he needs to grow and develop.
O God, our Creator and Preserver, we turn our hearts toward yours in thankfulness. We are ready to celebrate the world around us and the people with whom you fill it. Thank you for the bright sun and warm friends. Thank you for romance and happiness and the blooming purple jacaranda trees. Speaking of purple, thank you for the Lakers and for sports, able bodies, teammates, and celebrations. Thank you for spring turning into summer and our approaching summer vacations. Thank you for our rainbow acrylics, the beach, and good books, which we'll finally have a chance to read. But God, we also come to you with concerns. We want to align our hearts with yours in hoping for change and seeing an approaching horizon of health for the earth and your people on it. Help us lean into equality, open-mindedness, and acceptance of all the people you created. Teach us how to repair the damage of global warming. Incline our hearts to care more about immigration and the privatization of water supplies than we do about how many Instagram followers we have. Help us to walk alongside one another towards greater mental health and wholeness. May we be the love that answers violence and be those who seek to repair all things broken. We trust, O God, that you will guide us. And when we find in the years to come that you have helped us to be a part of a more whole life, we will continue to give you praise for the work that you've done in us. And now, with the confidence of children of God, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We know that all we have comes from God, our blessings, our resources, our friends, and family. We remember that Jesus taught us that it is a blessing to give to others. Let us be glad as we present our offerings to God. May I please welcome the ushers up to the front.
Wow, I have to say that our youth are doing an amazing job, and our youth counselors are so awesome. So can we just take a moment and give them a big round of applause? Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. My name is Stephanie Lang, and I have been the youth director here since late October. Now, for those of you who don't know, our youth group, which is made up of teens in 6th through 12th grade, generally meets here at the church on Sunday evenings from 5 to 7 p.m. We play games, share a meal, enjoy each other's fellowship, and have a lesson. Once a month, we try to schedule a fun activity to do together as a group. Since I've been youth director, we've had a Halloween party, a Christmas party, seen several movies, eaten at a few mall food courts, baked together, visited the Santa Monica Pier, and participated in the Compassion Experience. Next month, we intend to kick off the summer and send off our high school teens to Sierra Service Project with a pool party at Kathy Cannon's house. Now, in addition to today being my first Youth Sunday as youth director, May 14th has become an important date to me. 10 years ago today, my father passed away. He was not quite 62 years old when he lost his battle with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, as a mother to my 3.5-year-old Christopher, living till only 62 makes life feel very short. It makes me want to decide how I want to spend my time with my son, my husband, my family, my friends, my church, and my youth group. What is important to me, and what do I want to do with these days that God has granted me? To decide that, I like to reflect on my childhood days and life as a teen and a young adult. The memories that I have with my dad and continue to have with my mom and sister are amazing. I have to say that I was really blessed to have a pretty perfect life growing up. I hit the jackpot with my mom and dad. Both my parents worked full-time, but they were always available to me and my sister after school, on weekends, and over the holidays. My mom was a school teacher who was off during the summer, so summers were spent at the pool, the library, dance class, playing with friends, relaxing at home, and traveling. One thing, though, that was a constant in our lives was going to church on Sunday. I would go to the United Methodist Church with my dad, and my sister would go to the Catholic Church with my mom. Now, in order to explain this, I have to backtrack a little. My mom grew up in a Catholic family in Baltimore, and my dad grew up in a Protestant family in Pittsburgh. After graduating from Catholic high school, both my mom and her older sister, Anne, entered the convent to become nuns. 3 years after entering the convent, when my mom was only 21, her mother passed away, and my mom left the convent in order to help her father take care of her younger brother. My Aunt Anne, who is now a lawyer, left the convent after 10 years and has been happily married now for almost 45 years to my Uncle John, a former Christian brother who is now a retired OBGYN. Go figure, right? My mom's side of the family remained Catholic. My dad's side of the family remained Protestant. When my parents got married in 1972, my mom continued to go to Catholic Church, and my dad continued to go to the Methodist Church. When I was born, I went to church with my dad. And when my sister was born, she went to church with my mom. We went every Sunday without fail, no questions asked. It was expected that we would all be going to church on Sunday morning, unless we were sick or perhaps out of town. We went to school every day. We brushed our teeth every day. We ate meals every day. And we went to church every Sunday morning. I'm not sure why, but I don't remember my sister or myself ever questioning it or debating it. If we slept over at a friend's house or went to a slumber party on Saturday night, we were always picked up in time on Sunday morning to make it to church. If a friend spent the night at our house on Saturday night, they either got picked up early or most likely went to church with us in the morning. If we were invited somewhere on Sunday, we could not attend until after church. Now, I'm not sure what my dad would have done had we lived on the West Coast, as he was a huge Steelers fan and never missed a game. But luckily, kickoff time on the East Coast is never earlier than 1 p.m., so church never interfered. As I got older, I got very serious about dancing, as well as acting and singing. I spent 3 hours a day, 5 days a week at my performing arts high school. I did my homework, took two additional extracurricular dance classes a week, taught dance for 7 hours every Saturday, and always made it to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. It was evident to me that family, church, church family, God, and Jesus were important to my parents, and therefore it became important to me. I'll never forget my trip to Orlando, Florida with my father when he was sending me off to go to Rollins College. We spent a day at Universal Studios, bought some bath towels, set up a local bank account, and found the First United Methodist Church of Winter Park. And I went there just about every Sunday. I even had to walk there my freshman year as I didn't have a car on campus. But no matter how late I was up celebrating on Saturday night, I always made it to their 11 a.m. service. After college, I moved to New York City and found a home at a United Methodist Church in Greenwich Village. I was a soloist and choir member there for many years, and sometimes my parents would journey up from Baltimore to hear me sing. I even roped my dear friend Jennifer Dilley, who many of you know, into singing with our Easter choir 1 year. And once again, no matter what I was up to the night before, I always made it to church on Sunday morning. In fact, Jeremy over there tells me that on our very first date, I made two things clear to him. Number one, that I was planning on moving to LA. And number two, that I go to church on Sunday mornings. It was kind of like, this is who I am, and you have to accept it if you want to be a part of my world. And now, here we are 13 years later, and Jeremy is coming to church with me. I was baptized, confirmed, and married at Catonsville United Methodist Church, and my son Christopher was baptized here at Westwood Church. I guess what I'm trying to say is that in all my wonderful years with my dad and the 10 years beyond, the church has been my rock, my safe place, my home away from home, the place where I belong. And I think it stems from the way my mom, dad, and other family members always put it first. In verse 8 from 1 Timothy that Amanda read to us earlier, it says, "Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." I believe that my parents lived by these words, and I strive to live by them too. I love the way that Christopher already feels safe and loved in this space, and I hope he continues to want to be here. And I believe he will if I continue to show him how much I love and need this place and continue to put it first. Now, do I see hope in God and hope for the future of our teens here at our youth group? Absolutely. But I do pray that they continue to stay rooted in faith, that the church is a place where they feel safe and supported, and it's a place where they always want and need to be. And I pray that they too will feel strong enough to tell their friends that this is where they want to be. Even if they walk away from the church for a while, I hope that somewhere down the line, they will find a comfortable return. But how do we root our children and teens in the love of God and Jesus and our wonderful faith? Well, I think it begins with you and me, living by example, choosing to put worship first over all other things. Yes, work, school, sports, dance, gymnastics, acting classes, sleepovers, parties, and friends are all very important. But what do we want to be the most important to our children and youth? What is most important to you? I hope to see every one of you here each and every week.
Good morning. This is different. I'm not usually up here. I'm usually running around, as you all know. I'm Sabrina, and while I work in the church office, I also worked with the youth for about 7 years, and Jessica was one of my youth group members, and she actually started at the same time that her sister was still attending, which made for a very humorous interaction almost every Sunday that we thoroughly enjoyed. Jessica has just grown into such a beautiful young woman, and smart and witty and intelligent, and we are so excited to see where she is going in the future and to hear what she has to say today.
So I'm so excited that I get to interview our one senior today. So Jessica, tell us, what high school are you graduating from?
I'm graduating from Culver City High School.
Excellent. And tell us, what's next for you, and what are you planning to study, or what career path do you think you'll pursue?
Well, right now I work at a cooking school, and I'll be working there until I go to culinary school. I'm going to the Culinary Institute of America in Napa, California.
Very, very exciting. That sounds good. Now, tell us, how long have you been attending here at Westwood United Methodist Church?
I've been attending here for about 15 years, since I was about 3.
That's a long time. Now, what is your favorite church activity to participate in?
My favorite activity to participate in is the Advent workshop. My mom and I volunteer every year making the crafts.
Excellent. I hope you'll be able to come back sometime and do it again. Do you have a favorite Westwood memory you can share with us?
My favorite memory is when I won in the chili cook-off. I won for the dessert. I made a individual little apple tarts.
Nice. Excellent. Well, I know I didn't ask you this one in advance, but I think the congregation would want to know, once you've finished up all your culinary training, will you come back to Westwood and cook for our congregation sometime?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. Will the congregation please join me in sharing your love and congratulations for our graduating senior?
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org. or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.